you begin to realize that it anticipates your move. It plans, it attacks, it checkmates you. And you're scratching your head. This is not a human being here. Because every possible good move, and there is a general program that's inside that plans for all blunders and really bad moves. It's been programmed inside. It anticipates all your choices. Now, when I open this for you, I say, okay, let me turn this on, and I say, make your first move. Isn't that free choice? You have free choice. You could choose to move your king pawn or your queen pawn or your bishop pawn. You could choose. But when you make that choice, or whatever choice is made, it's anticipated. So the computer responds to you. And each time it responds, you have another set of choices. Now, it feels like you are choosing, and it does. You could choose what opening you want. The Royal Opera, you want the King's Gambit, all those things, program inside, 10,000. So, that's for you to enjoy during your barbecue time, right? And let's think about God. Every choice you make has been anticipated in the book. We have free choice, but because God is God, He anticipates it. Now, I believe I have a little illustration that I prepared last week. Jerry, can you bring it up on the board? And I have drawn three little triangles based on Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, that you may know the perfect will of God and the acceptable, or sometimes translation says the permissive will of God. And of course, the third is what is outside God's will. And when God plans for us in any incident, in any situation, there is the perfect will, there is the permissive will, and of course, there's a section that completely outside God's will. Right? Three little boxes. Of course, God will love us to be in His perfect will. Right? Doing exactly all the things in His command. Now, when I say perfect will, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are perfect. Right? Perfect will generally means that your heart is perfect before God and you're under the covering for any other imperfections in your life. But generally, your heart is 100% in God. And then, within this little box of perfect will, as long as you're dealing with it, every choice you make, God is working in your life, dealing with it. And within the perfect will, you do have some choices too. Like, on some things, it looks like it was initiated by man. Like when Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. That was initiated by Moses. But it was something good. So God says, fine. But at that time, God says, I will show you the back parts of my glory. And so there were a lot of things sort of seem to be initiated by man. Like, for example, Elijah, Elisha. Elisha was chosen to replace Elijah. But where was it mentioned that Elisha should have 2 times the anointing of Elijah? There's nothing mentioned. It was not even a promise to him. So who desired that? Elisha. So within the perfect will, he still has a choice to be to increase in God. He doesn't just want to have an anointing to be a prophet. He doesn't just want to replace Elijah. He says, I want 2x the anointing. So that was still within the boundaries of God's perfect will and His design. And God said, that's fine. And remember when David fell into sin with Bathsheba, and God dealt with him through Nathan the prophet, God says, David, you know, if what I give you is not enough, if you need more wealth, ask for me. What do you want? Ask for me. If the wealth that I have blessed you with is not enough, God says, ask for more. It's inside the Bible. You read the passage after his dealing, after he fell. God told him. Now, doesn't that mean that there's some sort of desires that God still allow you within the perfect will? And And so if David had not sinned, and David says, Lord, I need more, God would have given more. Except God says, don't sin against me. So there is some element of choice even within the perfect will. Sometimes you think that perfect will only has one choice. No, there could be multiple good choices in God. Because God is a creative God. Now, let me ask this hypothetical question. When we all get to heaven, everything is perfect, right? Do you think you can choose what color to wear? Or God says, nope, only white robes in heaven. It will be a dull heaven, I think. If all of us have to wear white robes and all the same design, one size fits all. And all of us given the same harp and we are playing our harp in heaven, right? And we say, and when we look at each other, because we all look the same from far, we have to look closely at the face. Right? No! In heaven, I'm sure you have choices. Right? Some of you will be wearing rainbow color things, which may not be my taste. Right? I don't know. On this earth, at the moment, I like blue, turquoise, and a little bit of purple. And in heaven, it may change when I discover more colors. Some of you may like some funny colors, psychedelic colors or whatever, right? That's fine. You can color your mansion any color you want. God did not say, all mansions must be the same. We mass produce them here so that we are all equal. No, no, there's no equality. There is dullness, right? Equality is equal access to whatever you want without any limits. And it's interesting, even though we are all equal, yet we can choose different things. So, there is a freedom of choice within a perfect will. Now, sometimes when our heart stops putting God first, what is the criteria to be in God's perfect will? Not perfection in everything. Because it's impossible to be perfect in this earth in everything. Perfection of heart. That's all. Because your minds, your ways may all not be perfect, but your heart is 100% with God. That's perfect will. You're within this perfect will. Then sometimes in our heart we begin to let idols come in. People, things, priorities takes our heart. Our heart becomes divided. God doesn't have first place anymore. He has first place sometimes. And other times he's second place, or third place. Right? We struggle all the time in our heart. We drop into his permissive will. And in his permissive will, God is still so merciful. He still deals with your life. Because he will take whatever you give to him. That's how much he loves us. And so in the permissive will, because our heart is not perfect, he cannot bless us and do things for us as much as he likes to. And so we drop down into the middle box of permissive will. And within the permissive will, God keeps dealing in our life and keeps being patient. A lot of imperfect things, lessons we never learn. We go in circles, on and on. God patiently waits for us and keeps dealing in our heart and dealing in our heart. And He's so patient, we repent and then we walk with God and we drop here. Then we drop back here sometimes. And then we go round and round and God keeps patient. There's still a shield of protection about you even though you're in a permissive will. And then the verse is, when you begin to choose to be out of God's will. Now, interestingly, when you choose to be out of God's will, there is still a circle He tries to protect you. Even though you didn't choose Him, He still chose you, as long as you still didn't reject Him. But outside this area, outside of God's will, this little box here where a lot of people fall into, I put the word salvation. That means He keeps dealing with you on returning back to Him. Or those who have never been saved, He keeps dealing with them. Come, come and be saved. And He will never stop dealing with you in your life to turn back to Him in this section here. Always. That's God. Now, when you look at what is outside God's permissive, God's perfect will, I draw a little arrow here that goes straight to show you that whether you're here or here, at any place, at any time, that you move in these areas, here, here, or here, it is still within the boundaries of God. You couldn't escape the boundaries. That's how big God is. When you see how big God is, then you realize that whenever you turn to Him, you could jump from here into here. Where you're outside God's will, you repent and you jump straight into the perfect will. It doesn't have to go through the permissive. From a permissive, you could jump straight into the perfect will. And so God deals in your life. And this is an interesting thing, that when your overall life is concerned, within each of these little boxes, see many little arrows going round and round, many possible choices. Each little circle represents multiple choices. So upon each choice, God has a plan. There is nothing that you could choose that was not in a plan. Like this little computer chess trainer. Every possible choice that you're going to play, this little program can anticipate you. There's nothing, no move that you could plan that is not anticipated. And this is only a tiny thing. God is so much bigger in terms of human lives and His capacity. There is nothing that you could choose that God did not have some backup plan involved. That is why, even in the lowest of times when David fell into sin, that was one of those points I didn't get to cover last week, I'm covering this week. When David fell into sin with Bathsheba, of course, they pay the penalties for their sin. Sin has a penalty. The devil will come and collect his penalty. And when he fell into sin, God was displeased. In the book of 2 Samuel, God was displeased. And then David lost a child in chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 12. In verse 16, David pleaded with God. 2 Samuel 12, verse 16. David pleaded with God for the child. David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. And he would not eat. He just fasted and prayed. But to no avail. Verse 18, the child died. Because David was not supposed to ever be with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was married to Uriah the Hittite. David committed adultery. And when there was a child involved and got Bathsheba pregnant, he tried to cover his sin by getting Uriah back and getting him to sleep with his wife. And Uriah was a loyal servant and did not, because they're still in battle. In those days, that was their custom. Unless they finish the job, they won't go home yet. And he did not. And so, in the end, David wrote a letter to Joab, the general in charge of warfare, and says, basically this is what he says, I'm paraphrasing, put Uriah in a very dangerous war zone, and as you launch an attack, withdraw and let Uriah be killed. That's murder. He committed murder, instigated and planned it. And when Uriah got killed, and all these things happened, that was when God came and dealt with David. David was repentful. And what was he going to do in this area? And when Uriah died, David, after the period of mourning, married Bathsheba. So everything looks very legal now. Nobody knows the secret sin involved. And so, when God dealt with David, it was a hard time. As we read in Psalms 51, his repentance in prayer. Last week we talked about how repentance is, how to repent. He repented. Now you might have thought, well, David has moved from God's perfect will. Could I just have that little chart again? David had just moved from God's perfect will into God's permissive will, correct? It is permissive. Never in the perfect will would he have included Uriah, because Uriah belonged to another man.